for the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, the podcast is about to start, but could you all do me a favor? Could you go to podsurvey.com/notsam and take the survey real quick? Look, I've given you so many hours of free content. We have the best guests of any wrestling podcast. We have great analysis. I've got Katie Linendahl. Whatever you need, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast has it here for you for free. Keep the podcast free by helping me out a little bit. Let some of the advertisers know something about you. It's totally anonymous, so there's no Big Brother thing going on here. You go to podsurvey.com/notsam. You answer a couple questions about yourself. Takes less than 5 minutes, and it gives you a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You'll be able to buy whatever you want with that. The survey, it's anonymous. When you're finished, you enter your email, you get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. There's every month, there's a gift card being given away. So go to podsurvey.com/notsam. Please take our survey, help the show, and keep the show free. Do it for me. Do it for Linendahl. Do it for the guests. Do it for yourself. Do it for the entertainment of it all. Please do it now. Let's start the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Introducing your host from New York, here is Sam Roberts.
Step forward with your left foot. Step forward with your left foot. Step forward with your left foot. Welcome to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. I'm watching Breaking Ground, obviously. We got Breaking Ground to talk about. We got Monday Night Raw to talk about. We got so much going on in this world. Legends making the news. So much wrestling to talk about this week. I don't even know where to begin. But I will say welcome to the podcast. Xavier Woods is going to be on the show today, which I'm very excited about because he's the man right now. It's hard to think of anybody that's more successful doing what they're doing than Xavier Woods. He seems to have beaten the system. We'll talk about that. Tyler Breeze is doing pretty well. He was on last week. I don't know. So much going on. So much going on. I've been playing 2K16, like nonstop, WWE 2K16 for PS4. I'm just dropping stunners on everybody. That's why I love this version of the game. Because, you know, every year they come out with the new wrestling game, and what 2K does is they put in, like, a story mode. I liked it a lot when THQ was doing it. When THQ was doing it, that's when you had the Attitude Era mode, where you went through, you know, key matches in the Attitude Era and then unlocked wrestlers from that era. Then they did the WrestleMania mode, and I think 2K had picked up the license, but it was still pretty much a THQ-designed game, where you went through and did key matches from WrestleManias and unlocked every WrestleMania arena and wrestlers from every WrestleMania. It was just a good way to include legends in the roster. And also, it was a cool idea. You know, that hadn't really been done before in games where you were actually specifically reenacting specific matches, and I like that. I didn't love the story mode of 2K15 when it was just like taking some key rivalries and having you reenact them. Because then it was just like, how many times am I going to have Shawn Michaels and Triple H wrestle? Like, how many different Shawn Michaels and Triple H costumes am I going to unlock and play this match over and over again? But I'm a fan of this year. This year, the story mode is following Stone Cold's career. And it starts with the 96 King of the Ring, and it goes through his WWE run. And then they sprinkle in some bonus matches from WCW and from ECW. But the reason that I love this one specifically is one of the things that I do in these games is just drop stunners. The stunner is the best video game finishing move of all time. There is no better wrestling video game finisher than the stunner. It comes out of nowhere, kick to the midsection, drop you. I have been dropping stunners on everybody. I love the Stone Cold mode because it gives you a chance to just drop stunners. I've been dropping stunners on Undertaker, dropping stunners on Kane, dropping stunners on both McMahons. Shane O'Mac is in this game. They put Shane McMahon in the game, and he's caught quite a few stunners. Dropping stunners on The Rock. Everywhere I go, I'm stopping mud holes. It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, just that there's that many opportunities to perform stunners. And I know what you're saying. You're like, Sam, you just said that how many different outfits can you unlock for Triple H and Shawn Michaels? Stone Cold Steve Austin is probably the worst guy to have that many unlockables for. It is amazing how 2K16, they figured out everything Stone Cold ever wore. So there are like 19 different versions of Stone Cold Steve Austin in the game. His boots are a little shorter, then a little longer. He's got different color knee braces. They have black knee braces, white knee braces, red knee braces, every different little idiosyncrasy that Stone Cold Steve Austin changed about his outfit is represented in the game just so they could have some kind of variety. Every vest he ever wore, that WrestleMania where he couldn't find his vest so he had to come out in a t-shirt, that t-shirt's in the game, everything. Everything Stone Cold. Plus, they find excuses to just unlock everybody. Like going through Stone Cold Steve Austin's career, they actually found a reason to have King Haku be an unlockable. It's amazing. And that's, I love the legends in the game. I love when they incorporate legends. So yeah, I'm a fan. I'm liking it so far, mainly because I get to drop stunners on everybody. I haven't done the create a wrestler mode yet. I get so overwhelmed nowadays by create a wrestler just because there's so many options that it takes hours to put anything together. I like downloading that. I like that you can download other people's create a wrestlers. That's what I like to do. But I haven't done the career mode. I haven't done create a wrestler. I haven't done any of that stuff. I've just been sitting there going through Stone Cold's career and dropping stunners on everybody's ass like Stone Cold Steve Austin would want me to. So if you're a fan of dropping stunners, I would say pick up 2K16. Plus, I mean, the roster's awesome. That's really why I'm going through, because I want to go through the Stone Cold mode. I want to unlock everybody. And then I just want to be able to play the game and put together like ridiculous matches. I want to finally have the Jimmy Uso versus Ravishing Rick Rude match that I've been looking for so long. I want King Haku versus Zack Ryder for the Internet Championship in a Hell in a Cell. All right, and then wait till the downloadables come out. When I can have, and this is a downloadable content, so it's not out yet, but I saw it on YouTube. When I can have Blake and Murphy versus the Bushwhackers in the game, then I'll know I've reached Mecca. So, I'm a fan of 2K16. I love all the games. I get them every year. They always improve it a little bit. All the graphics are always a little bit improved. The gameplay is always a little bit improved. And that's what it is. It plays pretty similarly to 2K15. It's pretty similar. And the look isn't that different. The graphics are probably a little better, but not much better. They're about the same. The difference is in, you know, how they have you playing the game and how they have you unlocking stuff for me. So that's what I like about it. Speaking of video games, the WWE superstar that is most outward, I think, with his love of video games is Xavier Woods. And Xavier Woods, I mean, you talk about an inspiration to other performers. This is a guy who exists in a world where you hear from everybody. I mean, Batista was just doing interviews this week. Maybe we'll talk about it in the State of Wrestling. You hear from everybody how difficult WWE is. Oh, it's so difficult to get anything done. The company is so difficult. Blah, blah, blah. You know, well, they say they want you to grab the brass ring, but they won't give you an opportunity to blah, blah, blah. Xavier Woods, Big E Langston, and Kofi Kingston have found lightning in a bottle. They have figured out, and I don't know if it's just their sensibilities match up with something that caught Vince McMahon's eye and it just all merged perfectly at the same time. But somehow, Xavier Woods has gone into a place notorious for overscripting, for being controlling, for doing all this, and figured out how to be himself, how to be entertaining on his own terms, and get away with it. New Day has gone from being kind of a nondescript sort of black gospel babyface group to finding this medium between intimidating and entertaining bad guy factions. Like they when they moved over to the bad guy world, it was kind of okay, well, we're just going to be goofballs and we're kind of going to be weaselly bad guys that make people boo us. Okay. But they've gone a step further, and now they're actually being dominant as far as in-ring performances go. I don't know if I would have wiped them out so quickly on Raw this week, but we'll talk about that in the State of Wrestling. This interview I did right after Xavier Woods' one-on-one match with John Cena, because I thought that was a big moment for Xavier. Xavier Woods had been the guy on the sideline for a while. I mean, it was basically New Day had become Big E and Kofi as a tag team with Xavier as their manager. And John Cena just busts out that U.S. title challenge, and Xavier Woods is now starting Monday Night Raw, going one-on-one with John Cena. It was a big moment for Xavier and a big moment for New Day, and I think a hopeful moment for pro wrestling. You know, you like him or don't like him, at least it's something new that's happening. So Xavier Woods is my guest this week on the podcast with Katie Linendahl conducting the interview with me. Let's go to it.
And now, the Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast interview.
Let's now welcome to the Wrestling Podcast, Xavier Woods, PhD, is
Hello.
Here.
New day?
Hello.
Hello.
I brought my trombone.
You got one too?
I thought it was a trumpet.
Not a trumpet. Not a trumpet.
I did see a YouTube video. Have you seen it? The video of you yelling at the fans in the front row about their music program being lackluster?
Yeah. Because, okay, so there's this little girl, and she was so cute, and she had a little cute sign that she made. And as I got closer to it, I realized it was trumpets all over it and not trombone. So I explained to her, like, and that's a real thing with me, is that music education programs are failing because people are kicking them out of schools by not funding them and not thinking that they're worth anything. And, like, no, you play instruments, like, it's a proven fact that your grades are better. So please, please explain to the youth that these are not, it's not a trombone that I have, it's a trumpet, they need to know these things.
Right, it's just, it's a brass instrument, but that's where the similarities end.
Yes, exactly.
How do the guys, I was thinking about this, actually when you were wrestling John Cena, to go from what your role is now to kind of, outside of the live events, being kind of a hype man for New Day on Raw, to then find out you're going to Raw and you're wrestling the opening match one-on-one against John Cena, like, is that kind of a shock to the system?
It's yes and no. It feels really good because to take the path that I went on, like, getting signed, being in development for 3 years, coming up to the main roster, and, like, being randomly paired with R-Truth, not doing anything, getting torn to shreds by Rusev in NXT while I was on the main roster, and then getting torn to shreds by Rusev while I was on the main roster and came to the main roster. Like, I was literally just, like, floating in obscurity with a disgusting mustache that I didn't take care of because I legit lost my mind and had no clue what I was going to do, like, what I needed to do to advance myself, like, literally just in creative limbo because every idea that I had just, like, wasn't working. And then all of a sudden, I have this idea, like, hey, I want to do this, but I think that E will really help bring something to the group. And then we said, I think Kofi will bring something to the group as well. And then we realized, oh, my God, the chemistry that we have is, like, unreal. And that's when it hit me, like, we all three need to be together. Because a lot of the times when there's factions or tag teams, there's one guy who stands out and the other guy kind of, he's there and he's part of the team, but you know him as part of the team.
Right.
And I feel like with us, we've definitely done a very good job of pushing the same mantra that says that we are in a group together, but we've all done a very good job, even better job, I think, of setting up who we are as an individual.
You're also good at figuring out, like, that each of you have strengths, so let's allow everybody, because you see these groups, and I would imagine that if one person starts to get strong based on what they're good at, there's jealousy, there's people, well, I want to do that too, I want to do this too, but you guys have all figured out what you're individually good at, and okay, the other two are going to highlight this one while he does this, and then these two are going to highlight me while I do this, and it just makes the group better, I think.
it feels really good because there's, like you said, there's no one stepping on anyone's toes because we know Biggie is the strong one. And then now we realize he's the one with the flexible hips.
Yeah, he is.
That's his role. Kofi's got his ridiculous clap, and like he's got so much like integrity, and people believe in him so much from his years on the roster before. And like people didn't know me, and then they're like, "Oh, well, you're the guy who kind of wrestles, and you're the cheerleader." Like then I brought a trombone out, and they're like, "Oh," and I started like doing my hair differently. They're like, "Oh my god!" Like, okay, you're the brains in entertainment. Okay, we get it. And
our
whole group, we put it together. Like, honestly, the way we talk about it is like, and I used to talk about this with Breeze, because he's like one of my best friends in wrestling, and we were tag team back in the day, and we'd always say, man, if we could fuse ourselves together, because we'd be the best wrestler in the world. Mm. Because I think he's a better wrestler than me, and I've got like more outgoing entertainment than him. And now that he's doing like Tyler Breeze, like he's brought that entertainment out, and me from working with him has brought more of my wrestling out. And now, again, with New Day, I feel like if he fuses all together in one, it's like the perfect wrestler because Big E's big, Kofi's awesome at wrestling, and I'm crazy entertaining.
Right.
I think the group just works and gels so well together because of that and the chemistry that we're allowing each other to have with it.
And I think that was only a matter of time before that just kind of shined through. I mean, everybody is on board with it, but an honest question. And truly, I mean, it's undeniable out the gate. The response was not hot.
Well, before you, like, what was the initial pitch of New Day? Like, what was the, before it became what it's become, and you guys kind of, it feels like you guys took control of seeing where the crowd was going and evolving the group. But, like, what was originally the intention of the group?
For me, the original intention was to get something on television where the three of us were considered a group.
That's
it. That was it. Because to me, seeing how we interact and knowing how we are together, like we were doing this on the road for like 8 months, maybe 6 or 8 months before it came on the TV.
Uh-huh.
So we worked out all the kinks and figured it out, and we ride together and we work out together and we travel together. And like, we are like inseparable when we're at work. We'd be like off in corners while we're at TV talking about things that we could do like months from now and like a year from now. So like, we have ideas for days and it just flows so well. So like, lots of people we ask about that, like, what was the initial reaction that you guys wanted? And honestly, it was anything.
Right, just some kind of response.
Yeah.
Wait, there wasn't a little ounce of, did you, and sorry, it's such like an honest question, but did you feel hurt at the initial response? I mean.
There were ebbs and flows because, when we talked about this, because people, no one knows like how hard this was to get on television, one. Hmm. And then when it got to television, no one understands how hard it was to get it to where it is now. But the cool thing is, like, this is what we envisioned from the beginning. And so lots of people say, like, oh, now you're different. Like, it's a different New Day. And, like, now I like it because you guys do stuff differently. And it's like, bro, go back 6 months and watch the matches and watch how we act. We've done nothing different at all. It's the same exact New Day.
But I feel like you guys do something, and maybe it's just because you got a little more freedom than a lot of people do. But I feel like the difference is you guys acknowledged the crowd. Like when the crowd turned on you, you acknowledged that they were turned on you and started altering your behavior slightly. By acting as if everybody was saying New Day rocks when they were obviously saying New Day sucks,
mm-hmm.
It kind of turned the crowd into saying, oh, they don't suck. They're kind of taking what we're doing and making it work for them, which, yeah, I feel like a lot of people either don't know how to do or don't get the opportunity to do.
Well, the main thing is the art of sports entertainment is being able to take the energy that the crowd is giving you, turn it into what you want to turn it into, and then making it feel as if they are the ones who did it.
Right, right.
And while for us, we knew that we wanted it to be here, there's certain people that are out there that watch wrestling that feel like, you know, like they're the ones who created this. And it's like, no, like that's what wrestling is. It's just like a movie, like a TV show. You watch and you might interact in a certain light, but the people that are creating the product already know where they want it to go. And if they're good at what they're doing, they're going to make sure that they mold it into the shape that they originally wanted it in the first place.
Right. How much of it, like, was this something where you guys had the freedom to just go out and do what you felt was right and react the way you wanted to react, and people were just backstage going, okay, this works, so we're just going to let him keep doing this, or have there been people directing you?
It's been a freedom thing, but honestly, like, and this will probably sound weird, but in a sense of, like, free will, everybody has the freedom to kind of do what they want. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how much you believe in it and if it works or not. Because there's many a time, now and before, where we just kind of did what we wanted to do, and it worked. If it wouldn't have worked, then things would not have turned out.
Yeah. You probably also, I mean, it probably also helps to get to the point where, like you said, you're losing your mind and have a crazy man mustache. So you're like, what do I got to lose now? I'm just going to go out and do this. I think it'll work. I'm going to put everything into it. And worst case scenario, the mustache is coming back.
Yeah. But for me, my thing was, okay, so I, like I said, I love wrestling, but I love education as well. And that's why I'm trying to get my PhD, because I want to work with children who are autistic later in life. Like, mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to have more than, to find more than one passion.
Right.
So for me, being at the point where it's like, okay, what do I have to do? Knowing that if I were to fail, I have something to fall back on that I also love, gives you kind of more leeway to kind of say, like, screw it. I'm
right.
going to go with my gut. And so I feel like that's one of the things that helped me out a lot, because once I got to that point, it was a kind of a do or die moment. And it's like, how much do you really believe in yourself, you know? Because if you want to go out and you want to, and I was doing this, I'm guilty of this, going out and kind of towing the line and making sure you're pleasing all the right people and
right.
trying to get the crowd to like you and trying to do what you think that they want you to do. Like, screw that. Do what you want to do and have a good time for yourself. And that's once I started doing that and was like, screw this, I'm just going to make myself laugh. Then it became, oh, this is how I am with my friends in real life.
Right.
I make myself laugh and like, they see me having fun. I see them having fun. Now we're all having fun.
So like, do you just show up to TV one day with a trombone?
No, I actually, when we were going to do the New Day State of Mind song, we talked about the next day. We were like, oh, we can do you know, New York, New York. And I was like, oh, it'd be funny if I sang the, like, the da, 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 da. But then, like, 2 minutes later, I was like, it'd be funnier, though, if I played it on a trombone.
I mean, you're right. And your comic instincts are right on.
Yeah. And then Kofi and Ego, oh, yeah, you can play trombone, right? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I wonder if we can get a trombone. And then the next day at TV, there was a trombone there. And I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
what
because
an inconvenient travel accessory.
It really is. I mean, but it's become your thing where, like, Jim Cornette had a tennis racket.
Yeah.
And Paulie Dangerously had his big cell phone. Now yep. you've got a trombone.
Dude, and I will tell you this, one of my favorite like managers on the in the world was Fonzie with that whistle.
Yes. Like, Bill Alfonso.
Oh my God, the absolute worst. I hated it. And so my thought is like, okay, so I'm not a manager. I'm a wrestler who's out on the outside as well, so I don't have to act like a manager when I'm on the outside, because my thought that a manager is like a basketball coach. He's not gonna try to get the camera on himself. He's going to react at the right times and be mad when his team gets mad. But like as a wrestler doing it, like you kind of want the limelight
yeah.
while you're on the outside too. And so like it's this weird dynamic that I feel like hasn't been on TV like in a very, very long time where I can be on the outside when I'm not wrestling and just be like a complete like pompous dick, but like play things well on the trombone. So it's kind of like that quarterback who throws a touchdown pass and then like steals your girlfriend at the same time. You're like, man, you're a dick, but you're really good.
Yeah, like you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just be sounding like a fool with that trombone. He can actually play trombone, too.
Yeah.
And you're right, though. I didn't even think of Bill Alfonso when that trombone came out, but it is an instant, like, when you are a bad guy, having an obnoxious noise machine may be the greatest thing you can do.
Oh, my God. And then, like I said, like the fact that, like, nice sounds come out of it sometimes, it's like it makes it even worse.
But yeah, then, like, yeah, it's melodic.
My favorite manager of all time, hands down, Paul Heyman. He's at the top of the pile of everything, and he is the gift. You know, I bow down to him. He's the man to me. And so, like, now that we have more time to like talk on television mm-hmm. and do these things and promos and stuff, I want to be like in the ring cutting a promo like face to face with Paul Heyman, because like that's like my goal, my dream.
You think you can handle it? I've been face to face with Paul Heyman. It's more difficult than it looks.
Dude, it's insane. But that's the thing, like that's what I want so bad. So like I'd either float or sink. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. But,
just like the idea of that even being a possibility somewhere down the road, like, excites me, because I want like a test like that. He's to me, like, he's, like I said, he's the man.
Does anybody ever get frustrated with you not taking the match seriously? Like, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing, but like in your match with John Cena, when you fall out of the ring and you start yelling, "I wasn't ready! I wasn't ready!" Is there ever a moment where they're like honestly annoyed that you're not taking it more seriously?
No, and in that match, I feel like it was done in a way where, yeah, at first, like, I am a cocky prick, and I think that I'm going to be able to do this. Like, I'm whatever. I play trombone. I'm with my boys, whatever.
Yeah.
But then as things progressed, if you notice, like, it got much more serious, and, like, the entertainment went out the window.
Yes.
Like, as John said, like, there's a time for entertainment. There's a time to get serious. And that was possibly the first time that any of us in New Day, like, had to turn it up to being serious like that. So it's cool that we got to show that other side of yes, we are entertaining, but when it's time to turn it up, like, we can go.
Excellent, man. Well, listen, I could talk to you for another hour because you've got a lot of hobbies, but you got to get to your hobbies. You got to get back to your studying and to your video games and to your wrestling and to your dancing and singing and trombone. So if you want to follow Xavier on Twitter, you probably all know by now, but it's Xavier Woods, PhD. You can get his YouTube channel, Up, Up, Down, Down on YouTube. And, of course, you are on Katie Linendahl's podcast, katielinendahl.show, talking all about your YouTube channel and some of the growing up geek stuff that is you. So,
and he's on Monday Night Raw every Monday.
Every Monday.
Every Monday, he's there.
Just letting you know.
Yeah, he is.
Just throwing it in there.
Yeah, he is. So thank you so much, man.
No, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Very cool.
Here is Sam Roberts.
Let that be a lesson. Xavier Woods, not only an entertaining guy and a great performer, and he's in great shape and everything, this is a guy who seemingly, he puts his mind to stuff and he turns it into something productive. You know, like you said in the interview, he's getting picked on. And so what does he do? He gets all jacked up. He gets muscular. And he becomes a pro wrestler, but he doesn't give up his geekdom. What I like about Xavier Woods is he's good at figuring out the things that make him unique and then turning those traits into commodities, meaning he takes the things that he's passionate about in his life and he turns them into his work. So he knows he's got it. You heard the trombone thing. In the back of his pocket, he can play trombone. Why can I bring this into my world of performing? Yeah, let's figure out a way we can do that. He loves video games. It's not enough for him to just sit home playing video games. He's like, no, we can turn this into something. We can turn this into a secondary career, really. Up, Up, Down is a secondary career. It's like, no, I'm an entertaining guy. I also like video games. I also have an audience. I can combine all these things and do something different with it. And that's what he's doing. And it's the same thing he did in the world of pro wrestling. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about my thoughts on Xavier Woods in the state of wrestling because it relates to an interview with Batista that came out a couple of days ago, either this week or late last week. So I'm going to talk about that. I want to thank Taz. I was on Taz's show, The Taz Show, earlier this week on the Monday episode. So you can go to TazShow.com and you can find me on The Taz Show from earlier this week. He's doing something interesting. It's not exactly a podcast. He does 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, live internet radio. I wouldn't do, I mean, I guess I do. I said I wouldn't do that. If somebody paid me to do it, I guess I would do it. I think it's cool. I think it's kind of the next wave of broadcasting, and I think it's always good when you can get on the forefront of something. So thanks to Taz for having me on that show. If you want to be supportive of me, don't just listen to The Taz Show. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts. You can get yourself a Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, a Not Sam t-shirt, a What's the Haps t-shirt, whatever you want. All my t-shirts are up at prowrestlingtees.com/Sam Roberts. Also, if you go to notsam.com, you can see on the left side of the page there's a link. It says podcasts. That's right, plural. So here's what I'm doing. Everybody knows by now that I do this show every week. Every Wednesday morning, you get a brand new wrestling podcast, which I love to do. I love talking to wrestling fans. I love talking about wrestling. I love talking to wrestlers. This is like Xavier Woods in the video game thing. He loves playing video games. He loves playing video games with his friends. He loves talking about video games. So make it into a show, and you have a reason to do it all the time. That's the whole reason this wrestling podcast exists. I am a wrestling fan. I still like wrestling. I feel like a lot of wrestling podcasters don't like wrestling anymore. So it's me wanting a place to talk about wrestling with you guys, wrestling fans, and to get to talk to wrestlers about wrestling. It's a win-win. That's why I love doing this show. But I also love doing my show on SiriusXM. It's called Sam Roberts Show. It's on every night on Opie Radio, which is XM 103, Sirius 206 from 9 p.m. to midnight. And, you know, we'll talk wrestling here and there, but we talk about everything in the world. We talk about Donald Trump and politics. I'll talk about the movie Room. I'll talk about whatever. It's always fun, though. It's always entertaining, and it's in the podcast world. So if you want to hear what I do outside of the wrestling world, Sam Roberts Show on SiriusXM. An hour of that is going up in podcast form every week on iTunes and SoundCloud. And you can get all the links to that on notsam.com, or you can just search iTunes for Sam Roberts. And Sam Roberts, this podcast will come up and the other podcast will come up. Sam Roberts Show on SiriusXM. It'll probably come out every, probably Thursday. So, yeah, that'll be up every Thursday. There's one episode up. By the time you hear this, there'll probably be two. So enjoy that. Let's get into it. It is State of Wrestling time here on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Do me a favor, Finkel. Take it away.
It's now time for this week's State of Wrestling.
All right, now give it back, Finkel. Welcome to the State of Wrestling. Katie Linendahl not with me this week, unfortunately. Of all weeks for Katie Linendahl to not be with me, Tatanka announces that he has finally signed a WWE Legends deal. This means Tatanka action figures from Mattel. This means Tatanka in video games. And he said, I'll see you in Dallas, which I'm assuming means that Tatanka will be a part of the big WrestleMania on sale that they're doing, because I know they're planning a big event for that. I think he'll be around a lot now, and I can only imagine that this means there will be a second Tatanka appearance on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, if not a third, a fourth, and a fifth. Now that he's officially a WWE legend, now that he's got the contract, I mean, he could easily, now that relationship is there, I could see Tatanka going into the Hall of Fame this year. He deserves it. I mean, you know, the Hall of Fame, there's a solid spot for mid-card guys in the Hall of Fame. A lot of times people get upset that, like, the Hall of Fame should only be world champions, or there should be, it's pro wrestling. It's sports entertainment. So anybody that's entertained people, you know, there's a spot for you. The Tatanka deserves the same type of spot that maybe it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan, a Rick Martel, you know, all those guys. And Rick Martel's not in the Hall of Fame, I know, but he could be. I wouldn't be mad at it. I could see Tatanka going in as this year. I could see him absolutely going into the Hall of Fame this year in Dallas. And honestly, the fact that it's WrestleMania 32 in front of 100,000 people in Dallas, they're going to make such a big deal out of it, that would be a good look for Tatanka. So congratulations. I can't wait to hear Katie Linendahl's take on it. She's got to be psyched. You know, this also means new Tatanka t-shirts. They're probably not going to be on Pro Wrestling Tees. I'll bet there'll be new WWE Shop Tatanka t-shirts, which means that Katie Linendahl will not only be buying them for herself, but will have to have another contest to buy, because she'll buy 100 of them and just have to give them away. Now, what I was talking about, but congratulations to Tatanka, obviously. It's Tatanka Day here on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Tatanka Day or no Tatanka Day, though, I want to talk about what I was talking about with Xavier Woods. Because again, Xavier Woods and the New Day, they were part of the main event of Raw this week again. You know, it comes down to Seth Rollins has to build a team of the top bad guys in the company, and who does he go to? Kevin Owens and the New Day, which is incredible. Those are now the top bad guys in the company. I love it. I'm ecstatic about it. I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. I think he's an amazing, amazing performer. He just knows how to be a bad guy so well. And the fact that this New Day thing is working is just so – it's a hopeful thing, really. It really is a hopeful thing. Batista did an interview, and this all relates to it, all together to me. Batista did an interview earlier this week, and he talked about how difficult WWE was to deal with during his last run, which is interesting, being that WWE put a big Batista sign or put the Batista magazine cover up on display this week on Raw after that interview had already come out. Like, the whole internet had already seen the interview, and they still kind of extend the hand to Batista as if to say, we're proud of you. You know, I think it helps that Batista's got some mainstream credibility. He's in the biggest movie of the summer with the Guardians of the Galaxy last summer, and now he's in the new Bond movie. You know, I think that the fact that he's a mainstream guy, guys like Batista, like The Rock, for instance, The Rock is always going to be in a do-no-wrong position. There's nothing The Rock could do that the WWE would stop embracing him. So I think Batista, and congratulations to him, is entering into that zone. You know, to have Guardians of the Galaxy, to have James Bond, this is the stuff that these guys dream of. So it's good to see. But it was really interesting because Batista, and this is another example. I felt this way about my interview with Roman Reigns a couple weeks ago, and I heard it from a lot of you on Twitter. You guys were tweeting me, at not Sam, that if WWE would have allowed Roman Reigns to be more like the Roman Reigns that you heard on this podcast, you'd be a lot more supportive of him. He'd be a lot more compelling on television. There was something so relatable and likable about Batista when he just got to be himself that I was like, I now want to see this guy back in WWE. But, and Batista touched on this, it's the sort of heavy-handed creative control that the writers and the creative department at WWE have over the talent these days that I think is stopping guys from achieving as much as they could achieve. Wrestling has always been a business based on kind of instincts, and once you're in that ring, it's up to you. And now I feel like the current generation is coming up with this mentality of everything you're doing is being watched, and you have to remember they're acting. They're not. It's not improv anymore. It's straight acting. There is a script. There is a way you're supposed to act. There are words you're supposed to say, and this is how it's supposed to go. And there's a very few exceptions. There are very few exceptions to that in WWE, it seems like. But when somebody is themselves and they're able to be entertaining on their own without having their character micromanaged by somebody else, it shines through in the brightest possible way. You know, Batista said when he came in, he wanted to be a heel. He wanted to have a little bit of flexibility with the creative of his character. He said it wasn't going to work if he was a good guy. And then he said that they didn't know what to do with him because they insisted that he should be a good guy. And he was right and they were wrong. And then they didn't know what to do. And blah, blah, blah. The interview's on YouTube if you want to see it. But look, WWE is a difficult company to work with. You know, they're a huge company. They know that people go to them looking for dream jobs. And anytime that happens with any company, it gives the company a lot of leverage. It gives the company a lot of leverage with their talent to say, well, we're, especially now, with no WCW, with the only other wrestling that's on national television is TNA, and that's barely national, and it's hard for anybody to make a full-time living just working at TNA. You know, you got Ring of Honor, but these are organizations that you know, don't hold a candle to what WWE is doing and what WWE, how the lifestyle WWE provides. So there's really not a whole lot of places that you can go to, and the WWE is aware of this. Add to the fact that they're a publicly traded company, which means at the end of the day, creativity or no creativity, the one thing that WWE is focusing on is not TV ratings, it's not creative, it's not live events, it's stock price. It's all stock price. And yeah, if the ratings go down, if live event attendance goes down, if the network subscribers are down, it's going to negatively affect stock price. But stock price is what the WWE operates on. It's a publicly traded company, and that fact exists for all publicly traded companies. It's just what it is. I mean, I know from experiences that I've had working in other companies that are creative companies that are publicly traded, there are lots of people that get frustrated. But at the same time, and I don't know if this is the way it exists in WWE, because I've never been a performer in WWE, but I know in companies that I have been a part of, I've watched a lot of people come into companies like that, that where it's difficult, not impossible, but difficult to get ahead on your own terms. I've watched people many times go into those companies and within months act like it's hopeless, develop chips on their shoulders, get jaded by the whole thing, stop trying, and blame other people for the fact that they're not succeeding. I don't know if that happens in WWE or not. I would say there is a strong likelihood that a lot of people in WWE, not all of them, but a lot of people in WWE who don't succeed because they kind of give up on the idea of success being an option. Because, you know, they try, I'm sure they go in thinking that they're going to do well, and they try this and they try that and they try this, and for whatever reason it doesn't work. And a lot of times it doesn't work because of politics, not because it actually doesn't work. A lot of times they're not being shown in the right light, or they're not being given the right spot to show it in, or, you know, it kind of gets altered before they're allowed to do what they wanted to do, or the display is not what it's supposed to be, or you know, things happen. And when that happens a couple of times, most people kind of get jaded by the whole thing and say, well, forget it then. If you guys aren't going to give me the opportunity that I need, I'm not going to try anymore. And that's what happens. And people go in and they collect their paycheck and they get complacent. They're like, you know, there's no place else to go, but WWE's not going to fire me. You know, they need a good hand. And people get – there's a complacency that sinks in. And it's not just in WWE. It's everywhere. It's every job you can think of. It's in WWE. It's in television. It's in radio. It's in film. It's in Staples. It's in McDonald's. It's everywhere. It's on Wall Street. It's everywhere. Every job you can think of, that inevitably happens. So the New Day and Xavier Woods are examples of people who, I mean, let's be honest. Kofi Kingston especially has had so many start and stops with him. You know, I go back to it very often, but he had this opportunity to be a main event player. He had a main event feud going with Randy Orton, and the crowd was super into him. And it looked for a second like, oh, Kofi Kingston is going to be a real dude. And that was years ago. And there was one match, and then it went right back to the bottom for whatever reason. And I'm sure some complacency must have set in for Kofi. But the point is, he didn't allow it to stop him from still looking at things creatively. How do I do things creatively? How do I still get to the next level? From continuing to pursue what he's there to pursue. And to have Xavier Woods come in, and to have, and Big E's the same way. You know, Big E, before NXT, was this amazing thing with a reality show attached to it on the road and everything. Big E was the NXT heavyweight champion. People loved Big E. He made the referee count to five. And, you know, what happens? He comes to the main roster and they're not sure. Is he going to be a bodyguard? Is he going to be silent? Is he going to be goofy? Is he going to be a good guy? Is he going to be a bad guy? And it's kind of, it goes all over the place. Xavier Woods, the same thing. He came in, and you heard him in the interview, not really sure at all. Is he dancing? Is he kind of a nerdy dude who likes video games but kicks ass? What is he? And they figured it out. They got together, and they took a risk. All three of them took risks and went out there, and they have achieved success on their own terms. And I think that as long as a person is alive, that's all they should be aspiring to do. Achieving success on your own terms, and whether you're in wrestling or not, whatever job you're in, you should be able to look at that and say WWE is notorious for being a difficult place in general, being a very difficult place. WWE is notorious for being a controlling place. WWE, if you read the internet, buries people and holds people back all the time. But there is still a way that talent can rise to the top. And I think this exists. If it can happen in WWE, it can happen in any company or any venue on the planet. And I feel like that's the way we should be looking at New Day, is these are guys who on the surface should not be successful and were not given an opportunity. When the New Day debuted, they were simply not given an opportunity. Whether it was intentional or not, all of us knew that this was not a thing that would work. And so they changed it into something that would work. And I think that should be applauded. I think that should be applauded in a big, big way. Now, speaking of NXT, of course, Breaking Ground is the new big show. I like it. I don't know. I'm not super, super compelled by it yet. It's only been two episodes. I still feel like we're not quite getting deep enough into things, but I enjoy watching it. I love the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I love seeing what these guys go through. But I would love a little more, you know, feeling like I'm sinking into something. That said, there is no doubt in my mind. And by the way, speaking of Breaking Ground, you can see the video that Katie and I did to preview Breaking Ground. That's up on SportsIllustrated.com. You can also find it on NotSam.com if you have any trouble navigating through the Sports Illustrated website. Katie and I will be starting our video series on Sports Illustrated. We're going through some kinks right now as far as production goes, but we just want to make sure that it's perfect when it goes up online. So within the next couple of weeks, we will have our videos going up on Sports Illustrated regularly, and I'll keep you abreast of that information. But there is no doubt in my mind that things are happening for the purpose of that reality show, and that's what happens no matter how. From everybody that I've talked to, and we talked to Tyler Breeze about it last week, we'll talk to somebody else about Breaking Ground next week, but from everybody that I've talked to, Breaking Ground is as real as a reality show gets. I don't think that any of the talent, at least, involved in the show really knew what direction the show was going in. I just think everything got filmed and then, you know, and a show was made, which I think is what reality TV should be. You know, it should be like, okay, let's just film it honestly, and then what's the story here, and then let's tell it. So I think that's what's happening. I just think that there's so much going on that it's hard to keep the drama of everything. I mean, it was brutal to watch Devin get fired this week. Spoiler alert. That was not – I was just one of those cringy, like, she took it well. I don't know. Maybe she was ready to go because she took it way better than I would have. I would have been in tears. I would have thrown a tantrum. I would have been stomping and pounding on the floor. That big muscle security guy, he would have had to carry me out over his shoulder while I was crying and slamming my fist against his back. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You said I could stay. You said I could be a superstar. I wouldn't want to leave. But there is no doubt in my mind that ZZ has been brought onto Breaking Ground just because of the reality show. You always got to wonder that. Is stuff happening just for reality shows? When something is televised, like, why is it happening? I personally, I didn't know ZZ was even going to be on this show until I saw the commercial and heard his voice on there. And I was like, what? It's got to be, I would assume, because I saw, like, a lot of guys from Tough Enough I saw on the show. You saw Amanda. You saw Sarah Lee. You saw Patrick. I'm glad Amanda's there. I'm glad Patrick is there. I'm glad Daria's there. You saw Daria in the training camp. And I believe that she is officially at the WWE Performance Center. She was given or offered a developmental deal, to my knowledge. So I'm glad Daria's there because I think she's great. But ZZ, Sarah Lee, I think, is fine. You might be able to do something with her. I don't know. It's going to take 3 years before she's ready for anything. So you can't really tell. And I would imagine that all the people that are not, and Mata, you saw the back of Mata's head. He's on Breaking Ground now too. The whole Tough Enough cast is there. I would imagine that everybody except the winner is getting much less money. I would think that the guy who won Tough Enough, that's the point of winning, that they do not have contracts that pay out as big as his does. But I am sure that ZZ was brought onto that show, not because, oh, there happened to be cameras here and ZZ just got signed. No. ZZ was brought onto Breaking Ground because the people in WWE, it's probably Vince McMahon himself, get a kick out of him.
Ugh. Where's that alligator wrestler? He's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Get him back on TV. Yeah. When Breaking Ground, what is it? Reality show? Like Tough Enough?
Yeah, but Vince, you know, Tough Enough didn't really work.
Didn't work. You see the blonde kid, the fatso? He was hilarious. Loved him. Get him on this one, too.
Well, Vince, I don't know. He's a...
Yeah, we'll get him on the show. He's going to be great. He's going to be great. He's going to be a big star one day, too. You mark my words.
Okay, Vince, I don't know if he knows how to wrestle.
Wrestle? Who needs to know how to wrestle? This is entertainment. We're making movies. Haven't you ever seen my interview in Beyond the Mat? Come on, pal. Let's go.
There's no doubt in my mind that ZZ was brought on because somebody, whether it's Vince McMahon or one of the producers or whatever, got a kick out of him on Tough Enough. And they view him as good TV because he pisses everybody off. And he's going to continue to piss everybody off. You see him doing pull-ups on a weight bar? He did four of them, and then he was like, oh, got my gym time in. The craziest part about Breaking Ground this week was meeting ZZ's dad. Because I couldn't believe there were two of them. Just like ZZ and his dad having a conversation together was like, what is going on? I thought I was watching a David Lynch movie. This is too much for me. This is way too much for me. There can't be two ZZs right now. And one of them has feathered hair. Just watching them go back and forth, you go like, what ever gets done in these conversations? Listening to these guys talk, whatever gets done? I don't know. I mean, I like the show. I don't love it. I like the direction it's going. I think it could end up being a great show. But yeah, ZZ's just been brought on for the reality TV angle. And you have to wonder if he realizes that. If he realizes that nobody thinks that he's going to be the next big WWE superstar. Nobody thinks he's going to be on the main roster. I mean, did you see you see what he was wearing on the Tough Enough finale? He's wearing like red, white, and blue underwear and feathers in his hair. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He's not going to be on the main roster. But hopefully he'll get some people pissed off during Breaking Ground. What I really want to see, like, it's one thing for him to annoy the Tough Enough contestants because they're all just trying. What I really want to see is, like, a Bull Dempsey, a Tyler Breeze, a Colin Cassidy, one of these NXT superstars. I mean, forget about Finn Balor. Finn Balor I don't even think is on the show. But one of these like established NXT superstars, I want them to come in and get pissed off by ZZ. I want William Regal to get pissed off by ZZ and a lot more than over stepping forward with your left foot. Step forward with your left foot! That's what I want to see. So, yeah, Breaking Ground was good. Let's get into Raw a little bit. First of all, I will say this. I think the Bray Wyatt segment had value because... Pyro. Finally, some pyro on this show. I've been waiting for so long. And how about this? This is, people were wondering, I said a few weeks ago that for some reason, only legends get pyro. No young guys ever get pyro anymore. And people were like, well, what about Adrian Neville? I was like, yeah, that's true. Neville does have pyro. And guess what? They took it away from him. They heard me, and I apologize, Neville. But they heard me on the podcast say that Neville has pyro. And they were like, oh, we forgot.
Who let the short guy have pyro? No, he doesn't need it. How long has he been here? What are we trying to do? Build stars? He doesn't need any pyro. No. We gave him a cape. A cape is enough.
Yeah, Neville's pyro got taken away, but, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, and once I say it, there's a good chance.
What do you mean they have pyro?
The Usos have pyro. They still have their pyro. And then boom!
Oh, can't we do that without the pyro?
Well, don't you think, Vince, that we need the impact on it?
No. Save the pyro for Lesnar and The Undertaker. Those are stars.
Okay, but kind of need some new ones, too. I was happy to see the Usos back, but... because it's, again, it's young stars. It's young, good guy stars, and I like seeing these young guys... Anybody get pushed, really. I like seeing any young person get pushed at this point. But I'm worried because the Survivor Series is in a couple weeks and there is no way that you are going to sell me on another match where Bray Wyatt just builds up a feud with The Undertaker. I can't take it again. I can't take it. I gave it the benefit of a doubt last time. I went on Stone Cold's podcast after Bray Wyatt said, after Bray Wyatt built up his match with The Undertaker by himself and said something about Bray Wyatt being the best wrestler in the company, and Stone Cold Steve Austin looked at me like I had three heads. Like I had three heads. What? I actually got a what from Stone Cold after I said that. He was like, no, no way. And it started to change things. And, you know, I mean, we were talking about it last week. A little bit of damage has been done to Bray Wyatt. It's fixable. You can fix the damage. But you can't have Bray Wyatt build this matchup by himself again. I would assume there's going to be some kind of Wyatt's versus Brothers of Destruction match at Survivor Series. The Brothers of Destruction need to be on television. I don't care if it's in a vignette. Put The Undertaker and Kane. Give me one episode of Raw with The Undertaker and Kane together. One episode. Give me some explanation as to where they went. How are they going to get their souls back? I still think The Undertaker and Kane need to show up in gas station uniforms with the sleeves cut off. Just like Bryan did. Daniel Bryan got kidnapped the same way. And he showed up with a gas station outfit on. We need to get taller gas station outfits and put them on The Undertaker and Kane, at least for 1 week. We need something. Something. There can't be another match where Bray Wyatt has to talk it up for weeks, build a match up by himself, and then loses. We can't do it again. Don't do it to Bray again. Please. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. There's got to be somebody. There has to be somebody in WWE that listens to this podcast. Somebody that's got some kind of power in some kind of creative role. I beg of you, I beg of you, do not make Bray Wyatt build this matchup by himself and then lose again. Please. I look at Bray Wyatt like, maybe that's why I was saying that he's my favorite wrestler in the company for so long, because I look at it like there's so much potential there. I honestly look at him like this is my child. This is my baby. This is the closest thing I have to a son, is this Bray Wyatt character. Not because I created it, but because I see a world of potential in it. There's so much that you could do there. There's future in Bray. I look at superstars like investments, and I shouldn't, because it's not my company. I should just be able, like a normal human being, to sit down on the couch and watch the show and enjoy it. But I don't. I look way too deep into it. And I look at Bray like an investment. Like, not everybody that you have in that company you can just look at and say, okay, we've got 15 years out of him. Bray Wyatt is this young guy. He's young. He knows how to move, and he wrestles in such a way that he's probably not going to get injured. And his character works in such a way that he doesn't even have to wrestle every week. So if you're worried about him getting injured, take him off matches. Just have him doing promos and sending out his Wyatts to wrestle. His character works to do that. This is like the Undertaker in the funeral parlor right now, as far as I'm concerned. You can ride Bray Wyatt for a long time, as I think. But you can't. When the Undertaker was in the funeral parlor, he was undefeated. He was undefeated his first year in WWE. Nobody could beat him. He won the world championship a year after his debut from Hulk Hogan. He was presumably unstoppable. And even to get the title off of him, they didn't have him get pinned. He was putting people in body bags left and right. Like, this was a character that you put an investment into. And Bray needs an investment put into him. Right now, he's just being used to make other people who are leaving look better. He doesn't look better because of his feud with Roman Reigns. Roman looks better. He doesn't look bad. He made The Undertaker. Why would you have Bray Wyatt make The Undertaker look better? The Undertaker's The Undertaker. He doesn't need to look better, and he's leaving. There's no way he's around after this year's WrestleMania. I hope. I'm done with The Undertaker. I love The Undertaker. This year should be his last year. I will watch Undertaker matches for the rest of my life till I'm blue in the face. I will play the video games, and I will play as The Undertaker. I will buy The Undertaker toys. I will buy The Undertaker retro t-shirts. The Undertaker might be the greatest character wrestling character ever created, and the man who plays him gets a lot of credit for that. But his time has come, and it's time to go. This year needs to be The Undertaker's last WrestleMania. 25 years, that's long enough, right? That said, he needs to go out losing. Please, please, WWE, if anybody is listening to me, please let the Wyatts defeat the Brothers of Destruction. This is what you do. 4-on-2 Survivor Series rules. Have them eliminate both guys and no one from the Wyatts gets pinned. All four Wyatts survive the match and The Undertaker and Kane both lose. Okay? You've got a numbers disadvantage. There's a benefit of a doubt, and it will lead to an Undertaker Bray Wyatt match that that Bray Wyatt can win. Please do it for me. I've given you so much, WWE. I've given you 32 years of my life, and that's all the years that I've had, by the way. 32 of them, and you've had all of them. Will you please do this for me? Please? Thank you. I hope somebody heard that. I hope there's a meeting, too. I don't know. We were listening to Sam's podcast, and he'd really like it if the Wyatts won.
I don't think so. Wyatts can't beat The Undertaker. He's The Undertaker. I
was also thinking this. I think Tyler Breeze has been actually... Katie and I had a difference of opinion a little... Well, we had a few differences of opinions. As much as I'm saying The Undertaker needs to lose to Bray Wyatt, who's calling me? Oh, somebody... I'm going to decline that. Don't worry. Somebody... there's no way you can tell me that John Cena and The Undertaker is not arguably the biggest match that you could put on. I guess you can tell me that if it's arguably. But, yeah, I mean... No, there is no bigger match for John Cena than John Cena versus The Undertaker. I'll stand by that. And I like that a lot of you on Twitter felt that way, too. But I appreciate Katie's opinion, and I like that she came from a different perspective. That's why I have her on the show so much. But I will say this. The other difference of opinion I had with Katie was Tyler Breeze's debut. She thought it was a little lackluster. I did not. I think Katie and a lot of people marry themselves to these NXT characters because you get so passionate in your loyalty to NXT that you forget that a lot of these NXT guys, people who watch Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, have no idea who they are. You know, there's what? There's, you know, 1.2, 1.3 million subscribers to the network worldwide, and, you know, five times that amount are watching Monday Night Raw. So there's five times more people that even have the network that are watching Monday Night Raw every week. So, you know, and then you take the 1.3 million that have the network and what percentage of those are watching NXT. It's probably a nice percentage, but, you know, it's not 100. So there's a lot of people that have never seen NXT that watch Raw and SmackDown. And that's fine. And that's why you should introduce these characters when they come on as new characters. And then as time goes by, which they've been doing with Tyler, kind of talk about his history in NXT. I think that's the way to do it. And I think they've done a great job. But she is right in the sense that it's a little odd to introduce a character on SmackDown just because nothing happens on SmackDown. SmackDown has obviously become a secondary show, and, you know, not much gets done over there. It's kind of just cleanup after Raw. And I was thinking about that a lot this week, and I was thinking about the fact that Tyler Breeze debuting on SmackDown didn't so much discredit Tyler, but I feel like it brought up the stock of SmackDown. And then I got to thinking a little more. And call me crazy, and I'd love to hear your opinion. Tweet me, @NotSam, and tell me. I don't have a hashtag for the show. I guess #SRWrestling is a good hashtag. I don't know what the hashtag should be. Tell me if I'm crazy. And if I'm not, I think I'm going to do this as a fantasy deal. I think they should reinstate the draft. Everybody was so over the WWE draft. I think they should reinstate it, and I think they should do it like they had it originally. I think they should reinstate the draft with one world champion. I think the SmackDown roster and the Raw roster should be fairly separate. It doesn't have to be so stringent, but I think the two rosters should be separated. They're already, you know, when they do house shows, they've got two separate rosters for house shows. So depending on the non-televised events, depending on what town you're in, you're going to see one half of the roster versus the second half because they run two shows at the same time. So use that principle, and now you've got a touring Raw brand and a touring SmackDown brand, which they had. And I just think that there'd be so much more opportunity for people to shine and do well. I think that you can keep the titles the way they are. I'd say keep the world championship one, keep the tag championship one, so it's not confusing, and then have, you know, Raw get the U.S. title and SmackDown get the Intercontinental title, or vice versa. But have those separated. You know, combine the pay-per-views. Don't have separate brand pay-per-views. Don't have separate brand anything. But have two separate rosters on the shows. And, you know, those rosters are the rosters that travel for house shows. I feel like that is how – I don't think Raw would suffer. I know you got 3 hours, so it's tough to do. But I still don't think Raw – I mean, honestly, if you really want to do it right, you move Raw back to 2 hours and then you still have this brand split. But I still think you can do a three-hour show because there are guys that do not get a match on Raw still. There are plenty of guys to create a secondary roster. So you got Raw, SmackDown, and then NXT as a third brand. I think it'd be a positive thing. Tweet me and you tell me if the brand extension needs to come back. I think it does. I think it'd be very good. I think it would freshen things up. I think it would give people a reason to watch SmackDown. I think it would create new stories. And it'd be one of those things where you can build on SmackDown and then make it a big deal when somebody comes to Raw. So let me know if you think that should happen. And if I get enough response on it, then I'm gonna come on the podcast. I'm going to get with Linendoll. I'm going to make sure she does it with me. And I'm going to do a fantasy draft and see where we should put separate superstars. Because I think there are guys that would be able to shine brighter if they had a different opportunity. So, that's this week's podcast. By the way, you hear about this? Randy Orton injured? Randy Orton, it said on WWE.com, is going to be out for 4 to 6 months. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's an okay thing. You know, I think it's good to have Randy Orton kind of pop in and pop out. I think it's good that John Cena's gone. Give the new guys a chance to shine. Give them a chance to shine. Hopefully, next week I'll talk about Survivor Series. Because, you know, all week on Raw this week, I'm seeing the history of Survivor Series and the history of Survivor Series tag matches. And then I saw a Survivor Series tag match on Raw and no tag match announced for Survivor Series, which I don't understand at all. We'll get into that next week here on Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. See you then. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Follow at Not Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And subscribe for free to listen every week to Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.